Please remain standing with me this evening and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Excuse me, I listed in your bulletin verses 1 through 12, but there's only 14 verses. We're going to read the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread a sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall come and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, this evening we pray that your Spirit would keep us attentive to your word, that we would focus our minds, our hearts, on the truths of this passage of Scripture, and that your Spirit would help us to understand your truth. I pray again you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth. May we be strengthened in our faith. May we be built up as we feast upon your word this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever tried fasting? This passage here talks about two different types of fasts in the first part of this chapter. Now, the simplest definition of a fast is going without food, maybe skipping a meal. Now, there's all kinds of fasts. Many include liquids, times of fasting and times of feasting. Now we see that in Scripture. I'm not sure how much we practice that anymore. Now there are many health benefits to fasting. There are many spiritual benefits as well. Now God's people were familiar with this idea of fasting and then feasting. The problem is, just like us, they can, in their worship and in their striving to follow God, they can get caught up in simply going through the motions of it all. And I often caution us when we think about our worship times together, our order of worship, our liturgy, if you will. We don't want to just put our brains on autopilot when we come into a worship service. We want to be engaged as we sing, as we pray, as we listen to God's word. We want to be participatory in what we do and focused on what we are doing. We talk about that dialogue, that dialogical principle of worship, that we go back and forth in the things that we do. We want to beware of just doing outward things and have it not affect our hearts. Ever feel like that from time to time? You do some outward things, some motions of faith, and maybe, you know, that Bible reading, maybe that praying that you do is just going through the motions. Some days you wonder, does God really hear my prayers? Does he hear what I'm saying? Now, that's not an excuse. Just at times when we feel like maybe we're going through the motions, that's not an excuse to stop reading Scripture or stop praying or worshiping. Simply because of the fact that we can get caught up in that idea. But we need to pause every once in a while and make sure that we focus in on the right things. Or have you ever noticed those type of people? Maybe you've met them before in your own life, that they look really good on the outside. They seem to have it all together. They just, man, that person, their life's going well. Everything's going smooth for them. The more you get to know them, what you perceive from the outside, merely looking at that person, or even at times observing them, was not the truth. They do the right things. They say the right words, but they don't really believe the right things. They look like perhaps they're sowing fruit, but it doesn't turn out that way over time. Now, it's okay for us to not have it all together. It's okay for us to pause and remember why we need a Savior, that we are sinners. It's okay that we don't always look good on the outside. We sin. We struggle in our lives. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. May God help us to be more consistent in our faith. But consistency in our faith and our walk with God does not mean perfection. In this chapter of Isaiah, we read here, as I said, of two fasts and then a feast. Two types of fasts that are being described here, and then the feast of the Sabbath. Now this week we're only going to look at and contrast the two different types of fast here. You're going to have to wait for next week for the last two verses of the chapter for that feast. And we have a lot of back and forth in the pages of Isaiah. We're now 58 chapters into a 66 chapter book. And there are times in the book of Isaiah where we get these great glimpses of the future, and the gospel of Jesus Christ permeates these pages and it's all over the place. And there are times that we're also reminded that judgment is coming because of the sin of the people. They have forsaken God. They've neglected Him. In fact, we read in the very previous chapter, in chapter 57, that they have deserted God. How long can we go about deserting God, forsaking Him, and yet still try to keep up the appearance of faith? And that's what's being described in the first part of this chapter. But we know that God is not fooled. God is not mocked. God sees our hearts. He sees behind all of the pretense. He sees whether or not we're just going through the motions. But may we seek to have our hearts renewed each week as we feast together upon God's Word. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold with me a willing spirit." Now, I read the entire chapter this evening. As I said, we're going to stop after verse 12. The last two verses are for next week. So, verses 1 through 5 describe that first fast. Verses 6 through 12 are the second fast. And then verses 13 and 14 are all about the feast of the Sabbath day. So, look again at verses 1 through 5, fast number 1. "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down, he said, like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord?" God is declaring once again to his people their sin, their transgression. Cry out, lift up your voice like a trumpet, warn them, tell them what they have done. Is this not what the prophet Isaiah has been doing this entire time? Warning the people of their sin, trying to encourage repentance. Do not hold back. Do not sugarcoat this in any way. Do not fail to warn the people for their sins. Now, how many times can we be guilty of that? We talked this morning that there's a time to speak and a time to remain silent. We may go the opposite way at times of showing more grace than God in covering over sins and not acknowledging sins. But are we honest and loving enough with the people we love to warn them of sin, to help them? And notice that the people did have some outward-looking signs of obedience. They seek Him daily. They delight to know His ways. They act like this nation that's doing righteous deeds. They look the part. They act like they're following God. And then they act surprised that God does not respond in the way that they think God should respond to them. Why have we fasted and you do not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Look at how holy we are, God. Look at all the wonderful things that we're doing for you, God. Look at how righteous we are, and you haven't even noticed us. God, look at how good I am. It reminds me of that Pharisee we read about in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee thought that he was righteous. After all, he fasted, he tithed, he looked good on the outside, but his heart was far from God. The people of Judah in Isaiah's day, they think that they're righteous. They're going through some outward motions still of worship, but they're not humble. Isaiah 1, verses 15 through 17. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Or Isaiah 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have made us separate. The things we know to be wrong, we cannot pretend that all is right when it's not. Hosea 6, verses 4 through 6, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And my judgment goes forth as light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Just the outward, exterior. Or Amos 5, 23 and 24. Take away from me the noise of your songs and the melody of your harps. I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You see, in this chapter it says that in the days of their fasting, they oppress others. They oppress all their workers. They go about quarreling and fighting. They outwardly act like they're humble and yet they're very arrogant. They're going through the motions. The outward signs are there. Signs of humility. They're bowed down. They're in sackcloth and ashes, acting the part, and yet their hearts are very far from the Lord. Joel 1, verses 13 and 14 says, put on sackcloth and lament, O priests, wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in, pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land and the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. They looked the part. They acted holy. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18 says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, but their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by my Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Fasting to be seen by others, to put on this outward religious display, or simply fasting to be seen by God. Are we looking in any way in our faith, in our behavior, as believers in Christ, are we merely looking to look holy, just to look the part? Are we just going through the motions of our spirituality, or have our hearts been changed by the blood of the Lamb? Now, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount there in the Gospels wasn't saying, stop all outward show of faith. He wasn't saying, don't fast or do any of these things. No, he tells those there, don't make a show of it. When you fast, you're fasting to the Lord. Others don't need to know, and he says that about prayer as well. Don't make a demonstrative show so that others can see how righteous you are. Now, there are times like corporate worship, like we're gathered here this evening, where others should know that you are praying or singing or listening. We should do all that we can do not to distract others around us from those elements of our worship service. In fact, we can all lead by example by paying attention to what is going on. But it's outside of where we should be visibly living out our faith. We don't always have to be putting on a show. We can still pray. We can still engage in things like fasting. We don't always have to be demonstrative. So that's fast number one. Now we come to fast number two in verses 6 through 12, and we see a great contrast. The fast that God rejects because it's very outward and just showy and there's no real heart behind it, and a fast now that God will accept instead of this outward act that was hollow because it was not real. Verses 6 through 12. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. The very opposite of that previous fast. That previous fast in which you seek your own pleasure and you oppress all of your workers. You look good on the outside, but your hearts are very far from God. The fast that God chooses is one that blesses others. Loosing the bonds of wickedness, undoing the straps of the yoke, letting the oppressed go free, breaking every yoke. It sounds a lot like we read in that great contrast when Christ returns to judge all men. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 34. I encourage you to read this entire section on your own, but I want you to listen to just these few verses here in Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Just a portion of this final judgment. Starting in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Now here in Isaiah chapter 58, it's not even the stranger that is being spoken of in Isaiah 58, but your own flesh as well. He talks about those related to you, sharing bread with the hungry, bringing the homeless poor into your home. If you serve others in their needs, then your faith will be shown forth. Faith without works is dead faith. There is an outward fruit that produces, or that is produced, as we seek to live out our faith. As we practice loving our neighbor as we love ourselves instead of oppressing him, then life will break forth. Then healing will come. Then righteousness will be shown. And the glory of the Lord will be their rear guard. And when you think of that glory of the Lord, we should be thinking of the glory of the Lord that traveled with them in the wilderness that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Or Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Or Luke 1, verses 78 and 79, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Light and glory. And when they call out to the Lord, when they perform this fast that is accepted by Him, when they call out to the Lord, He will hear. Then shall their light rise in the darkness, and others will see the light of truth. The second fast is shown forth by action, not just the humble outward appearance of a fast, but a heart that seeks to show love to others. And we see that action displayed in James 2, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Judah had drifted so far away from God, and she had placed all of her faith in worthless idols, and yet she tried to maintain some outward signs and symbols of faith without the substance behind them. And I think we see that all around us societally. There was no real golden age of our nation where everyone was a Christian, where love and peace abounded. Now, there were times that were better than today. But there was a time when outward vestiges of faith were still prevailing in the society, and there were outward signs of the past. But now we see, as we look at our world around us, that veneer has been ripped off, and we see instead sin and debauchery that perhaps was always there underneath the surface. Or perhaps that is the effect when churches turn inward instead of remembering that commission to disciple the nations. And there is blame to go around in all areas in that regard. But will we seek to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke and let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Will we share what we have with those who are hungry and bring in those who are the homeless poor and cover nakedness and not hide ourselves from our own flesh? Will we do these things? Let me put it a different way. Will we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Will we? Do we? You see, we cannot separate the commandments of God. We cannot separate those 10 commandments. Those first 4 commandments are summarized as love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the last 6 are summarized by love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that summary is not an abandonment of the 10 commandments, just a reminder of how we are to love God as we look at the first 4 commandments and how we are to show love to others in commandments 5 through 10. You cannot claim to love God and not love your neighbor. When I look good with my humble demeanor and the bowing of my head and my sackcloth and my ashes, see, God, I'm serving you. But God sees every day how I treat others, and He knows the truth. When the fast that God chooses is followed, then it will be the dawn of a new day. We see there in verse 10 that your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom shall be as noonday. The brightness of the sun shining at its peak. Remember Isaiah 2 verse 5. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. For John 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Instead of scorched places, instead of desert and desolate wilderness, they shall be as a watered garden, like a spring of water that waters do not fail. There will be life instead of the desert. Isaiah 1, verses 30 and 31, for you shall be like an oak whose leaf withers, and like a garden without water. And the strong shall become tender, and his work a spark, and both of them shall burn together with none to quench them. No water, desolation and destruction, or water, dry and consumed, or life in abundance, light or darkness. And then the last verse there speaks of rebuilding. The ancient ruins shall be built up. A foundation for many generations to come shall be raised up. There will be restoration both physically, as we've looked at in Ezra and Nehemiah, for the remnant of God's people, after they come out of that exile into Babylon and come back to their land, they will rebuild the temple. They will rebuild the city. The ancient ruins will be physically rebuilt, but more important than a physical building is a spiritual one. That remnant of God will be preserved, and God will work through that remnant so that His message of salvation will go forth to the very ends of the earth, to all those with the ears to hear and the eyes to see, the very opposite of those living in Judah in Isaiah's day who do not have the capacity to see or to hear. God will use a remnant for His purposes and for His glory. So two fasts. And we pause here before the feast of the Sabbath day, the kind of the pinnacle of this chapter in the last two verses. And I hope that you will ponder a little bit the contrast this week between fasting and feasting. In so many ways, we should look forward to the Lord's Day as a great feast of God's people, a great day where we are invited to feast with our King around His table, to celebrate the victory over death and the grave over sin and hell. And I hope as you go out into your week and you consider these two fasts, that you would think about how the 6 days that are our own, Monday through Saturday, or like a fast. We do not spend Monday through Saturday with the people of God rejoicing together. We're always in the presence of the Lord, and we have the opportunities, or I say, we should take the opportunities that we have daily alone and with our families to pray and read and to study God's Word, to sing His praises, but it's not the same as Sunday when we come together. But let us beware of simply going through the outward motions of our faith. Just doing outward things, thinking that we're being obedient to the Lord, and yet our hearts are very far from Him. Why don't you see God? Why don't you hear God? Let us examine our lives this week and repent of any sin that separates us from the Lord. And I don't think God is saying by metaphor when He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." No, the wrong's not in it. He neglected the others that God had placed around Him in His life. May we seek to show love this week as God gives us the opportunities to love the people that He puts into our lives in the next 6 days. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of..." And they never truly knew the Lord. Will you please join me in prayer? Word. But may we not just go through the motions. And may we not merely look or find the need to look good in the sight of others or even look good to you. May we acknowledge our sinfulness. May we acknowledge the ways that we fall short. May we not fall into that false fast that was merely external. But may we instead not only seek to honor you and to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but may we see the needs of others around us. And may you help us to meet the needs as we are able and as we have opportunity, that we may truly learn better how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.